Then there's Manny Diaz. So I started with Brent Pry. You had to replace him. It was inevitable that Brent Pry was going to get a head coaching job. You can't be that good of a coach. You can't be that good of a guy and not get a head coaching job. The inevitable finally happens. How do you react? They brought in, again, I've had a lot of conversations with Brent, and before that, a lot of conversations with Bob Shoup. Do you know how many times over the years Manny Diaz's name came up to me from those two guys? And I'm talking about with incredible respect. I can't even begin to count the number of times his name came up when I talked to both Bob and Brent. You know, just in conversation, sitting down, chit-chat, whatever. I remember in 2014, actually, Manny would not remember that. I didn't bring this up last night, as a matter of fact. But the first time I met Manny, because Brent and Bob had talked so much about him, I did a basketball game at Marshall in 2014, and it turned out that the game was on a Saturday afternoon that was going to lead into the football game, Conference USA Championship game between Marshall and Louisiana Tech. And the defensive coordinator for Louisiana Tech was Manny Diaz, and we stayed in the same hotel with Louisiana Tech. So, because Bob and Brent had both talked to me, I actually sought him out, and we talked for maybe 20 minutes. And he is a brilliant defensive mind. Everywhere he's gone, the job he's done. Okay, Louisiana Tech, Texas. Look at the job when he went to Miami as the coordinator. I turned everything around for them defensively. If Penn State was going to go external, and I told James this last night, I was really hoping that he'd hire Manny Diaz. And ironically, Joe Zagacki, Miami's play-by-play announcer, I had just talked to Joe on December 1st because they were here for the ACC Challenge. At that point, Manny was still the head coach. We had a long talk about Manny. And I said, look, if something happens to him, I said, Brent just left. I said, I hope Penn State gets him. He goes, and Joe said, he'd be awesome for you guys. Well, they got him. This wasn't a good hire. This was a great hire. And again, the access to more conversations, private conversations that you can have with professionals in the business, they give you a read on people. Again, the number of times over the years Manny Diaz's name has come up from Brent Pry and Bob Shoup to me, you'd be stunned how many times. And with great respect. I think that's a fabulous hire. It's a home run to me. And that brings us to the next positive. And we're going to talk with Ryan Snyder about this tomorrow. This recruiting class that they're bringing in, some have it as high as 4 or 5, some have it at 7 or 8. When the low bar is 7 or 8, you've got what people perceive to be a pretty doggone recruiting class, and there's high hopes about what they're going to do with 23. So everything that has happened in the last 10 days leading to 2 weeks on Wednesday have been all things that in my checklist sets up the future of Penn State football in a really terrific spot. Now they have to make it happen, but each thing that they needed to have happen based on circumstances has happened. There's one more guy they need right now to get an answer from as to what he wants to do, because they would love, obviously, to see P.J. Mustafa come back, but he has not made up his mind yet. I can tell you right now, P.J. has not made up his mind yet. Although I thought it was interesting that last night at the football banquet, who did P.J. sit with last night at his table? Manny Diaz. I thought it was an interesting pairing. But he's the one who has not made up his mind yet. But so far, to me, what they needed to have happen for the future of the program, they've checked each box in the last 10 days.